Ephesians and the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. As we continue our Grace Living series today. Now, when children are in their earliest years, parents, you know, we kind of love taking care of their needs and being the primary source of provision for our kids. In fact, we've had a couple of sick ones this week, and my wife has been a miracle worker in what she's been able to do and taking care of them. But, you know, we really love to do that for our children at that point. We all love the stage when the kids, you know, start smiling as they see us coming, and you know, and we love to hear them say mommy or daddy, and sometimes I think, you know, mom and dad has a competition, you know, which one's going to be called that name first, you know, in their name. It's just part of the wonderful thing. It's a great feeling to be wanted and needed by your children. Now, as they grow and continue to go through the stages, you really begin to want them to kind of gain some type of independence in some form or fashion. For instance, we don't want to have to tell them when to go to the bathroom at a certain point. We're still struggling with that one. We don't want to have to do that, though. We don't want to, you know, have to dress them in every way, you know, at that point, at a certain point. We don't want to have to, you know, brush their teeth for them when they reach a certain stage. And the older they get, the more and more responsibility we want them to receive. And they have to learn to start even making certain decisions on their own. Now, normally at some point, and it varies with life situation and life circumstance, but normally at some point, either after high school or college graduation, at some point, parents begin wanting their kids to be able to make it on their own. It's just the fact of life. It's that time when parents look back to the past, but also to the present, and they say to themselves, my son or my daughter has gone from childhood to adulthood, from immaturity to maturity. Now, for the most part, the hope is that the majority, you know, of kids will do that at some point, and you could ask, you know, any parent, and that is one of their hopes for their children. At some point, they want to know that they've raised their kids in such a way that they're going to be able to survive life on their own. They're going to be able to, at some point, grow up. Now, just a few years ago, there was a film that came out entitled Failure to Launch. And I don't know if any of you watched it. And it was starring Matthew McConaughey and I think Sarah Jessica Parker. And McConaughey played a 30-something-year-old man who was still living with his parents, very successful in his occupation, still living with his parents. And they desperately didn't want that to be the case. And so they hired Miss Parker and whoever she played in the movie to do her little magic and help him gain some type of responsibility and self-dependence to where he would finally launch out on his own. And through various circumstances, you know, it ultimately took place at the end of the movie. But that movie really just speaks about a growing phenomena today. And when I say growing, I mean a growing phenomena today. USA Today, in fact, reported that the percentage of people living at home between the ages of 18 and 34 increased 48% in just the last few years, from 12.5 million to 18.6 million people from 18 to 34 still living at home. In Canada, over the last 4 years, the amount of people between 20 and 29 living at home has doubled. In fact, 42% between 20 and 29 in Canada are living at home with their parents. Now, some of you parents are thinking, well, that's not so bad. And some of you are thinking, Lord help them. I know you are, and I don't have to ask you that. This generation has even been given a title or a label, and they're called the boomerang generation. You know, you throw them out and they come back every time. That's what they're called now, the boomerangers. And what we are finding and what we've known for some time is that a diploma does not mean that you're mature. A job doesn't mean that you've reached maturity in life. Those things don't mean, just because you're in a serious relationship, that doesn't mean you've reached maturity in your life. And you come to learn that the older and older you get and the more people you experience. But listen to me. There's a point when everyone, again, outside of certain life situations, they need to grow up. At some point, they have to mature. Amen? At some point, they have to. This is true with the parents' hope for the children, but it's also true with God's hope for His children. At some point, God wants us to grow up. He wants us to move from immaturity to maturity. He wants us to launch out and begin to have a maturity that He can use to make a difference in this world for Him. And today's passage helps us know what that maturity looks like. It's a wonderful passage. It teaches us how we can grow up and become more and more mature in Christ. And let me just say this, for all of us grown-ups in here, that doesn't mean just because we're grown-ups that we've grown up. So this is for everybody today, from the smallest to the youngest. How can we reach that maturity? Now, we've learned a lot up to this point in grace living. We've learned about the grace of God that saves us through faith in Jesus. We've learned about what God has recreated us in Christ to do, the works that glorify Him, how He's given us the privilege of sharing the gospel, the power that is available to work in and through our lives. We've learned about walking the walk, as Pastor Jonathan preached about a couple of weeks ago. And now we're going to continue to learn how us grown-ups can grow up in the Lord, how we can get to the place where we need to be in maturity that we need to have in our spiritual walk. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, no longer children, that we grow up, no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up, do you catch the theme, into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effective working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what does it take to grow up? What does it take for the believer to move from immaturity to maturity? Well, there are a few, three things here that I believe Paul talks about in this passage. The first one is this: you have to find your purpose and fulfill it. You have to find your purpose in life and fulfill that purpose. Did you notice what he said in verse 7? He said that every one of us has been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then he referenced back to an Old Testament passage. And when he had ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, we learned last week about unity and how there is great unity in one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, faith, baptism, one God and Father of all. Paul shared that with us last week in teaching us about how we're so united and have so much in common and how uncommon that kind of unity is. And now it's as if in these two verses he is sharing with us that there is also diversity in that unity. Meaning that while the church is one in all of those areas we talked about last week, there is a variety of spiritual gifts within the church. While we are one in all of those areas, we're still different. We're gifted differently. And you don't have to be in a church long and around church people long enough to know that we're different and we have different giftings as well. Each of us has a distinct purpose in the body of Christ. Every single one of us. Each of us and every one of us, we've been given at least one grace gift, as Paul references it here in verse 7, to help us with grace living, to help us live in a way that God wants us to live. We've been granted through that grace at least one spiritual gifting to help us serve other people and to serve God with all of our hearts. And we will never grow up until we are not only finding that purpose, but fulfilling that purpose through the work and the ministry of the local church. We'll never be able to grow up. You will never be spiritually mature. You'll never grow up until you find your purpose and fulfill that purpose in your life. It is just simply not possible. How do you find that purpose? How do you find the purpose that your life has so that you then can fulfill that purpose? Well, it's my responsibility and the responsibility of the leaders of this church to help you find that purpose. Look at what Paul says in verse 11. When he is speaking of some of these gifts, and in verse 11, these are kind of the leadership gifts of that Christ has given to the church. And he says this in verse 11, that he gave some to be apostles. He gave some the gift of to be prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But why did he give these people the gifts that he had given them? Look in verse 12. For the perfecting, that means the equipping of the saints. That's all those that are not the pastor and the teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. You see, my role and Jonathan's role and the role of the ministry team leaders, our role is not to do all the work of the ministry. Our role and our God-given gifting as far as the pastors and teachers is to help you find your purpose, to equip you to do the work of the ministry, to carry out the work that God wants us to accomplish. So we are here to help you find your purpose, to take those steps and helping you do that so that you can take the steps forward in fulfilling your purpose. Now listen to me, here's the reality. Nobody can take those steps for you. Nobody can. If I could take the steps into meaningful service, finding your purpose and fulfilling it for you, then I would already be doing that. For those of you who aren't serving, those of you who aren't involved in ministry in any way, if I could take the steps for you, that would have already been done. I would take it for every Christian that I could. Now, I couldn't handle that, and one person couldn't survive all that responsibility. But I believe every pastor, if we could take those steps magically for you to get you into life-changing service, we would love for that to take place. But you have to do that on your own. It's just like baby steps. The kids have to learn to do it at some point. At some point, you got to let go and let them take the steps. And that's the same for every single believer as well. And we are committed to helping you do that at Sardis. You've heard us for 2 years now mention what we call Sardis Discovery. Has any of you heard of that? If you haven't heard of that, then you must wear earplugs here every Sunday, you know, because we say it and we're loud enough, even if your hearing's not as well, we're still loud enough for you to hear that as well. And part of that Sardis Discovery growth track is Discovery 301. And in that, we sit down with you and we help you see how your personality, everybody's got a different personality, how that combines with your uniqueness and gifting, the gift that God has given you to help you fulfill your destiny in life-changing service on this earth. And that's what the whole class and the whole course is all about, helping you get from point A to point Z, from where you are to where God wants you to be, helping you take those steps. And in Discovery 301, we focus on what Paul refers to in Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 through 8 as really the functional gifts that people have been given in the body of Christ. Functional spiritual gifts. That just means that they all serve a distinct purpose or function within the body of Christ. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, he says, "For as we, being many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office or function, so we, being many, were one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." And then he begins to talk about the gifts that we have been given according to the grace that is given to us. Again, remember, these are grace gifts. Because God is so good, he gifts us with the gifts that he has given us. And he then begins to explain those. He says, "Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. We do everything we can to help you find which one of those giftings is yours so that you can begin to not only find that purpose, but fulfill that purpose in life. We are committed to doing that. There are two moments that I want every person who comes to Sardis to have. It's my desire. Two, aha. You know, you ever had that aha, you know, when you just get that feeling, there are two aha moments that I want every person to have. The first one is this. I want people to have an aha moment when they realize that this church is just for me. I mean, this is the right place. This is where I can yoke up and I can serve and I can make a difference. The second one is built on that. The second aha moment I want people to have is this church is not just for me. That they understand that this church, although it's the right one for them, it doesn't revolve around them and all of their needs and all of their preferences, but that we are all here to help serve other people. Those are the two aha moments that I desire, and I'm sure every pastor desires for people to have when they come into their church. Aha, this church is just right for me. This is the right place for me, but also this church is just not for me. It's not just for me. It's for other people, and I am to find my purpose and start fulfilling that purpose within the body of Christ. That is my desire for everyone. And listen, there is no age when people quit being gifted. And I think that's a misnomer that so many people have. You know, you serve for so long, and then at some point we somehow find ourselves confused into thinking that there's an age when we no longer have purpose. The time when you no longer have purpose is when you're around Christ for all of eternity at the throne room of God. And listen to me, you have purpose then even as well. But until you breathe your final breath here, you still have purpose. You're still gifted to do something for God. Many people think it's time for someone else to serve at a certain point. Well, it's time for the younger people to serve or the new people to serve. But please hear me. No one can fulfill your purpose except you. And there's never a point in your life where you're all dried up and you have nothing to offer to the body of Christ. Because God always has a purpose for you in life. And you have to find that purpose and fulfill that purpose if you ever want to grow up and become all that God wants you to do. He has always gifted and shaped you spiritually just the way you are to do just the things that He wants you to do. Now, I've often, and this is something we throw around, you know, when you meet a girl or something, oh, you're one in a million, babe, you know, something like that. And I know all the guys have done that. You know, I know Charles, that was his first pickup line with Miss Debbie, you know, and it must have worked. I don't know how, but it did, apparently. You know, but listen to me. With God, it's even more than that. Because we're not just, you know, the earth has, what, 7 billion people? We're one in 7 billion. We are one of a kind. God has given each of us a uniqueness and gifting and a personality and meshed all of that together. There is just one of you in all the world. You have that uniqueness and that giftedness, and God wants you to step into His purpose for your life, that uniqueness and giftedness in your life, and take off and begin to grow and become all that He wants you to be. And if you're not serving someone else and fulfilling your purpose, then you're serving self. And that's not being a grown-up. So the first thing is find your purpose and fulfill it. Amen? You're a little quiet this morning. And look, I'm loving on you here. This is stuff that's going to help us grow up. We all need this. We all need this. The second thing is this. Grow your character and reveal it. Grow your character and reveal it. Look at verse 13, what Paul says. He says, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, no longer children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So Paul is saying here that the process of finding your purpose and fulfilling it and the process of us helping people find their purpose and fulfillment. This is something that is supposed to continue until all Christians reach spiritual maturity. Paul mentions a perfect man. That just means a mature, someone who's reached spiritual maturity. So we're supposed to continue to fulfill that purpose. We're supposed to continue to help people find and fulfill their purpose. This process is to continue to take place until every Christian is doing that. Every Christian has grown into a mature person spiritually. Now, it doesn't take a very smart person to see that this hasn't happened yet. It's easy to see that. And it will never happen as long as this flesh and everything's involved. But what Paul is doing, he is showing us the urgency, just how important it is that we all grow up. That we all get to that place of spiritual maturity in Christ. Paul even says in verse 13 that this growth, this should result in a mature person with a stature that is measured by the fullness of Christ. In other words, our maturity, whether or not we've reached the place that God wants us to reach, is measured by the character of Christ. You don't have to compare yourself to me or Jonathan or anyone else. By all means, never compare yourself to me spiritually. But listen, we must compare our spiritual walk to the character of Christ, our character to that of Christ. And that's how we know when we are achieving the spiritual maturity that we need, the more and more we look and act and love like Jesus. That's how we know. Paul and Courtney, they've got a neat little thing they do with their kids. And I know most parents probably do this, and we're the world's worst probably for not doing this. But you know, as their kids age, you know, you start measuring them, and you'll mark it, you know, against the wall or somewhere, and then you measure them every so often so that you can see, you know, at some point, you know, where they were, but also what? Where they are, how much they have grown up. And they got a really neat little setup there on the wall. It looks really nice, and it was pretty cool, and I should have just snapped a photo the other day when we were over there, but it was really neat. But the purpose is simply so that we will know that we can measure the stature of our kids as they grow, so that we can see the progress that they have made. And there comes a time when we realize, by looking at that, we can step back and say, man, they're no longer the little kid they used to be. Some of us just have to look up, you know, with some kids. But it becomes obvious the growth that has taken place, the maturity, hopefully, that has taken place. And here's the deal. God wants all of that for us spiritually. But our measure, the measure of our stature, is not a ruler on the wall by a door, but it is the character of Christ. And Paul says, look, I want you to grow up to become a mature man, a perfect man, a mature spiritual individual. And here's how you know that, because you're measured by the fullness of Christ. The more and more you live the way Jesus lives, then that is a mark of maturity in your life. Let me say this, maturity doesn't come with age all the time. Spiritual maturity. Physical maturity, yes. In other areas, but spiritual maturity is not just connected with age. Age does not equal spiritual maturity. Do you understand that? It doesn't. There are a lot of Christians that have been Christians for 50 years, and they aren't as spiritually mature. Their character is not like that of Christ as much as is maybe a much younger Christian. It all depends on how we are growing in character to become more and more like Jesus Christ. He is our measuring stick. He is that measuring stick, and we must continue to move forward to become, in our character, grow and grow and become more and more like Jesus. And the truth is this, if our maturity spiritually is not evident in the way we live, then we don't have it. We can say that, I've reached this point. We can act like we're mature spiritually. But if it isn't seen, then it's not real. We can fool ourselves and convince ourselves. And churches are many saved Christians, many saved people. Full of saved people who act like they are spiritually mature, who may frown upon others who make mistakes and mess up, acting as though they never do those things, but yet those same people are never sacrificially serving and making their lives about other people, even as Jesus sacrificially gave His life to make it about other people. We have to not only grow our character, but if it's growing, then it's going to be seen in the way we live. And we're going to look more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. Don't measure it by me or anyone else. You measure your character and your growth by the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow your character and reveal it. And then the third thing is this. I believe Paul teaches us in verse 16 that we need to choose to make a difference and make it. Choose to make a difference and then go make a difference. Look at what he says in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what happens when you choose to find your purpose and fulfill it? What happens when you continue to mature spiritually, measuring your maturity to the stature of Christ? What happens when those things take place? In verse 16, Paul tells us, when each part, when each member, when each Christian does what they are made to do, then the whole body grows and becomes stronger. We all benefit when you do what God has gifted you to do. Let me ask you, if I ask you the question, do you want to see Sardis grow? How many of you would say yeah? And if no is your, you better, everybody better raise, this is an easy one. This is the brownie point from your pastor kind of question. If do you want Sardis to grow? How many raise your hand? Now, if not, we're going to set up a meeting. One of you is a little slow. All right, we got it. If I ask you, how many of you want God's kingdom to grow? How many of, we would all say, yes, of course we do. Well, then why are we not all fulfilling our purpose? Why are we not all striving to become more and more like Jesus? So as Paul says, the body will grow. Church growth is not some secret. Kingdom growth is not some secret. God hasn't told us to help the kingdom grow and then hide from us the things that it takes for His kingdom to grow. It just takes faithfulness to do what we are called, what we are shaped, and what we are gifted to do. Striving and striving to become more mature, the person that Christ wants us to be. So here is the deal. We need to choose to make a difference and go make it. Choose to serve. Choose to do something that will outlast your life. Haven't you noticed that every breath we take, we are getting closer to our final breath? We all know, regardless of age, that death is no respecter of persons. We've seen that recently. We know that to be true. And so listen to me. There comes a point where as Christians, we need to decide, I am going to make a difference that outlasts my life. I am going to be a part of something that will last for eternity. I'm going to do something that's bigger than anything I ever imagined, that can make a greater influence than anything I could ever make, apart from serving and fulfilling my purpose in life. We need to be willing to make a difference and then get up and go and start making a difference and do something about it. For instance, if you really love your community, if you really love your family, if you really love your friends, if you love your neighbors, then go make a difference in their lives. If we really want to love people the way Jesus loves, then let's go do something about it. Let's not let it just be the pastors who go out into the community and knock on doors and invite people to church and look for and identify needs in this community. No, listen, you go and make a difference. Go and be the church. I'll never hold you back from going and doing what God wants you to do. Go and make a difference. Choose today that you're tired of not making a difference. Make a difference. Do something that's going to live longer than you live. Do something that when you get to heaven, you will know that you've made a difference. When you get to heaven, you'll find the rewards because of what you're doing here. You'll find the rewards of your faithfulness in making a difference here. Choose to make a difference. And I've heard this, and I love this. Love always rolls up its sleeves and makes a difference. And man, we like to spew out, oh, I love you. I love my community. I love my neighbors. I love my family. But if we're not making a difference in their lives that will outlast our life, then how much do we really love them? Because love rolls up its sleeves and makes a difference. And some of you are the hardest working people in the world. In other areas, But we need to have that same passion and that same burden and that same urgency and that same desire, not just to roll up our sleeves in the field or in work or on the job scene, but we need to, as Christians and as a church, to be a church full of people who roll up our sleeves and makes a difference in people's lives. That's what real love is. And please write this down or remember this, because we've told you that you're gifted. Grace gifts. God has given every one of us through His grace a gifting. Here is the reason you're gifted. You are gifted to be a gift. You are gifted to be a gift. God has gifted you so that you can go and make a difference in someone else's life, so that you can be a gift to somebody else, so that He can use you to change someone's life, to transform someone else's life. And when you learn more and more about Sardis, and you see that we're a church that we're not structured so that a select few can do the work of the ministry. No, we have ministry teams that cover so many areas. You see them working in so many different ways every single Sunday. There are many ministry teams that you can be a part of that not only can you choose to make a difference, but you can go and do it and make a difference here at Sardis, but also away from Sardis in the community during the week. Choose to make a difference and go do it. Growing up and reaching spiritual maturity is something that requires all of us to go the extra mile. It requires you to be unlike the 80% of church members who do nothing. And growing up and reaching spiritual maturity and making a difference, it requires you to join the team of those who are fulfilling their purpose, who are growing in their character, and who are making an eternal difference. That's what growing up requires of you. It requires you to choose to be different from the vast majority of the church. It requires you going the extra mile. And as a pastor that I really think highly of his ministry, he said recently, Willie Rice is his name, he said, "The extra mile is never crowded." And it's not. It's not. There are not enough Christians who are willing to go the extra mile to grow up, to find their purpose, fulfill their purpose, to grow in their character, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make a difference in this world. The extra mile is never crowded. Hey, when you jump on the team and be a part of something real, you'll never find a big pileup. You'll never find a traffic jam. You'll never run into that when you're going out in the highways and hedges, compelling people to come in, as Jesus said. I've never had to park and wait for an hour to get out and go try to invite somebody to church or minister to somebody's need. Why? Because few people are willing to go the extra mile. But this morning, Paul is saying, you be that person. You be the one willing to go the extra mile. Don't you think it's time that you grow up? All you grown-ups, don't you think it's time that you grow up and do what it takes to start making a difference and go that extra mile? You can do it by looking up to God, because every purpose comes from Him. And this morning, just saying, God, I know I've got some things I need to change, and I'm committed to connecting my life with the purpose You have for it. It takes looking in your heart and seeing how God has made and shaped and gifted you for that purpose. And it takes just looking around, looking out the window, and starting just to simply meet the needs of people around you. I want you to imagine this story occurring, this concerning the members of our physical bodies. One day it occurred to the members of the body that they were doing all the work and that the belly was having all the food. So they held a meeting, and after a long discussion, they decided to strike work until the belly consented to take its proper share of the workload. So for a day or two, the hands refused to take the food, the mouth refused to receive it, and the teeth had no work to do. But after a day or two, members began to find that they themselves were not in very active and well condition. The hands could hardly move, the mouth was all parched and dry, while the legs were unable to support the rest of the body. So do you know what they concluded? So they found that even though the belly seemed to be doing nothing in its dull, quiet way, it was doing the necessary work for the body. And that all of the body had to work together, or the body itself would simply just not function properly. And man, we have a lot of people in our churches. A lot of people who say, hey, we'll just let them do the work. And then we wonder, well, why isn't anything happening? Why isn't the church growing? Why am I not growing? And the reason is this: the only way the body can grow is if you grow and become who God wants you to be, finding your purpose and fulfilling it. But not only that, growing your character and revealing it, and then finally choosing to make a difference and go make it. That is how we grow up and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how mature are you? Grown-ups, have you truly grown up?